You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome back as we roll on here. It is Thursday afternoon, and you may have seen this story yesterday, and I saw it, and I still don't really understand it. And it involves Texas A&M and the 12th Man Foundation. This is one of their NIL arms, and we've decided to talk to Billy Lucci about that because quite a few other things we want to talk to Billy about. But Billy, good afternoon. Thank you for stepping in here. Great to see you again. And what's all this about?
Well, Paul, I guess you're kind of asking the wrong guy. Basically, I think it was June or July 6th, around then, the IRS issued guidance, kind of the requiring the 12th Man Foundation. The result has been the 12th Man Foundation kind of needing to alter their approach on how they were going to go about NIL. You know, they're the fundraising arm for Texas A&M. They're not directly affiliated with athletics, which kind of allowed them to have that type of flexibility. But that was something that I forget when we had them kind of come in to talk about that launch. That was months ago. And then they had to pivot, I think, completely on what they're doing. And I don't think that's necessarily come out yet exactly how they're going to go about pivoting there. But they're going to have to just kind of change the way they go about swimming in that NIL pool, I guess would be the simplest way to say it.
Okay, just for the record, I'm sorry I brought it up. Billy.
Hey, when you say NIL to me, I get just like, ugh. But the one thing I do know, they're still going to kind of be in that space and are committed to staying in that space. So 12th Man Foundation, which that was kind of, I don't think they were the first of their kind to do it around the country in terms of a fundraising arm, but they're still committed to kind of swimming in those waters, and they're going to stay in that space.
Billy, on the field, on the practice field, I think we're all pretty curious to hear what you're hearing. We've heard from Bobby Petrino. Things are now well underway. What are you picking up from camp?
Well, you got that started when I was talking to you last time. It was right after Jimbo said, hey, you know, Bobby Petrino is the OC. He's going to be the play caller. I thought that interview with Bobby was really interesting. It kind of went into everything I'd been hearing and everything that I'd thought about that hire. It took a ton off of Jimbo's plate in terms of just the day-to-day. I don't think it's a coincidence that A&M's recruiting has spiked again. I get Connor Wigman in here pretty consistently. He's been excited about it. The receivers, I asked one of the defenders yesterday specifically, how much more difficult is it to stop this offense? He goes, said, hey, with Coach Petrino there, we just don't know what's coming. We don't know what they're doing day-to-day. It always seems like something different. So the players are excited. I think Jimbo's excited. And I think you and I talked about this. Imagine Bobby Petrino not having to deal with us in the media, not having to really recruit outside a quarterback and then kind of watch tape, not having to do all the donor functions and events. I mean, he's literally locked in there with Jimbo and the analyst Jim Chaney and the rest of that offensive staff just crunching X's and O's. So it's been good so far. You know, it's a long season, obviously, but there's a lot of excitement. And out on the practice fields, man, I think the biggest thing that I'm hearing on each side of the ball would be defense a year older, and that was desperately needed. You know, they had so many true freshmen playing and starting, a combination of both last year, and all that talent from that 22 class is now going into year two, and they have a ton of football under their belt. And then offensively, they're gushing over there about what they've got to work with at the skill positions, most notably at wide receiver. And that quarterback battle still ongoing between Wigman and Max Johnson, and apparently both guys, from what we've seen and heard, have had a hell of a fall camp. Wigman's name does kind of consistently keep coming up. I'll say that.
Billy, when I saw you recently, the expectations were much higher, I think, than some people were originally going. And I'm so interested in you because you know this personnel. You know what didn't go right. What are we talking about here for the Aggies? What's realistic?
Realistic is here's realistic, and people will take this as me saying they're going undefeated, which I'm not. But realistic is if you look at that schedule and you look at the talent A&M's putting on the field combined with that experience, there's not a game you're going to look at, whether it's Billy Lucci, Paul Feinbaum, or anybody that's really looking at that honestly to say they can't win that game. There's also several, a lot, that they can lose. They're going to play in a ton of close games this year. So much is going to depend, I believe, on quarterback play and this defense's ability to stop the run, which out of nowhere they were unable to do last year. You're looking for that year one to year two DJ Durkin improvement that Ole Miss made before he came over to College Station. They're going to need that. But realistically, I'm sitting here still. I think this is a team that could win 9 games and win a bowl. I just think they're going to play so many close games. And if they could make that jump, Paul, to 10, obviously if you went 10-2, that would be a massive turnaround for Jimbo and this team in College Station. But even if they got to 10 after a bowl game, to go from 5-10 with what they would return, and that I think would mean that the Petrino experiment worked, and you'd feel really good about the direction. I think they can do that, and I also think they need to do that. But, man, if you talk to people in the building, and I did about an hour-long interview with Jimbo a couple of Saturdays ago, and I just haven't heard him this excited about a football team. The only time close was 2020 when they finished in the top 5. So for whatever it matters and whatever it's worth, the head coach feels really good about what's coming back and his coaching staff and the schedule in front of them. But the one thing that stood out to me most, and you know as well as I do, Paul, you don't get this out of Jimbo often. I asked him why the excitement, why does this feel different? And the first thing he said to our group of about 500 people was, well, first of all, I'm pissed off. He said, I'm pissed off about what happened last year. And he said, I think our entire program is. So you don't get that level of just kind of unguarded, you know, bluntness in his answers a lot of times. And for him to say that, I think explains a lot.
Billy Lucci with us. Billy, before you go, we had the director of the Manziel Netflix film on the other day, and I don't even know where to start with you because it's no secret you and Johnny Manziel are very close friends. You've lived this with him. Now the whole country is talking about it. Just your reaction, and how is he handling it?
Well, I thought, and I loved your segment with Ryan. I thought he did such a great job with the doc. They interviewed me almost a year ago, and I had no idea what to expect other than what they asked me. And we sat here for about 3 hours, so that's kind of all I had to go on. And just being here and around it during that time and knowing Johnny since, I thought they did an incredible job. If you're going to, describe everything in an hour, they did as good a job as anyone could have ever done. Right now, I think in the wake of this, Paul, just from talking to Johnny, I think Johnny was, you know, he never talked to me one time about what did they ask you, what did you guys talk about. I don't think he talked to anybody about it. He didn't recommend me to them or anyone. They kind of found me. I think he was anxious about how it was going to be portrayed. He didn't want it coming off as bad in any way towards A&M, which I really don't think it did. I think it was just told the truth. And then when you're like him and you kind of bare your soul for all the world to see, I think he was really worried about how he was going to be portrayed and come off. And I think he breathed a big sigh of relief at the way it was. And he's been really happy about it. And I think the thing he said to me, Paul, that stood out the most was, for the first time since I left A&M, I feel like I've got some positive momentum and that people for the first time since I left, kind of understand, and I've got some positive momentum with this whole thing. So my hope is that he can capitalize, you know, on that in some way. And I think he needs to. I think it's a great opportunity, and he should really, you know, focus in and say, hey, this is a great opportunity when this Netflix comes out and it's number one, the number one show for, you know, at least the last couple of days. Go grab that and kind of, you know, send the course in a different direction, so to speak.
Understanding you're his friend, but still, you're also one of the most influential observers in the SEC, especially in relation to A&M. What do you think would be a good position for him? Not like a job. I mean, it just seems like Johnny Manziel should be a bigger part of everything we talk about here every day, and he's not.
I do, too. And I was really happy that A&M sent him to the SEC championship game last year as one of their legends. You know, I think that was a hell of an experience for him. Just to kind of be around those. Johnny kind of, you know, wants to make, I think he's tentative to go in and feel like everyone's open arm welcoming him back. And it's been that way with A&M. I think it's that way with the SEC, probably with the Heisman community too. I think long term, he's got a future at A&M when he's ready for, you know, there's a level of responsibility that goes with that. You know, I'm talking about a job, maybe it's shaking hands, fundraising type thing down the road. A&M's, you know, just going to be sitting here waiting on him. But I think in the interim, Paul, I sit here, first of all, I watch all these guys go around every summer and get paid to go speak at A&M, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, wherever you want to say. I think he's got a hell of a story to tell to college athletes. And you saw his Heisman speech. You saw him on this. Let him take the time and really nail down a terrific speech or two. And I think he can go college to college and really resonate with those kids and say, hey, I sat in that chair and I never thought it could be me, and it was me. And here's why. And here's why you need to cherish college football. Here's what you need to be careful of. You know, I think he's got a great message. And then I also think if he sat here at a desk like this and committed to sitting there and talking football and got some tape that people, whether it's where you're sitting today or around college football, could see it, I think he could have a real future behind a microphone. And that's just a matter of, you know, are you committed and ready to, you know, let people see that? Because rather than sit and talk about himself, I think if people listen to him kind of talk the game and have that personality and not be so withdrawn and just be like he is around the people that really know him, I think he'd kill it in that regard. And to me, that is a very short-term future that he could go and kind of seize if he wanted to. He's pretty good at golf, but he ain't playing in the PGA. And I think get him behind a microphone, he'd be really dang good.
That would be great. Well, we'll continue this conversation. Billy, always good to see you. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you soon as we head to the break right now. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul.
Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. We check in with Expired up next in Texas. Hello, Expired.
Hey, Paul. I just wanted to say Billy kind of confirmed what I've been saying about the Aggies roster. It really is loaded. I mean, anybody that knows anything can sit there and look at it. Can they put it together? Can they put it together? Can they put it together? Who knows? Who knows if anybody can put it together right now? And you don't listen to Alabama fans tell you how great they're going to be, and Georgia fans. And, you know, I got news for Georgia fans. This Carson Beck better be as good as you guys are saying, okay? Because if he's not, you know, you're probably going to go 12-0 or whatever because your schedule sucks. But when you get into the playoffs, you're going to get your ass beat, okay, if he's not as good as you guys are building him up to be, okay? And I did want to comment on, I guess it's John from Louisville. Is that his name?
Yeah.
He makes my skin crawl too. And he's like, he ain't a mouse. He's a damn rat. He's a porch rat. That's what he is. He sits on the porch. He waits for somebody to freaking spill some crackers. And he goes, gobbles them up, looks around, and he makes a comment. And he's kind of like, you know, he's like stokes the fire, and he thinks he's funny, but he's really stupid. I mean, he is a stupid caller. And I'm with that guy, man, that other caller that called in. That guy, man, I don't know, something's wrong with him. He just kind of, I don't know, man. It's like taking diabetes shot. You know, you just, there's nothing good about it. His calls, there's nothing good about his calls. They're just dry, and they suck. But really, that's all I got today, Paul. Giggle.
Is that the same as taking insulin? I'm not sure. Rick is up next in Houston. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul. So I've been thinking about this week, and it feels like your show's being a remake of 12 Angry Men with one-third of the jurors being Jim. Where's all the anger coming from? The season hasn't even started.
I think it's global warming.
Maybe the river's eroded and somebody's house has fallen into the river. That's not funny. But, I mean, you had Mike from Kentucky who was mad at you about being an anti-Bammer. Then we had John from St. Louis who was obviously really mad at Drinkwitz and apparently thinks Missouri's supposed to be atop of the SEC or something. I don't know. People lost their minds or something. And one more thing. We've had two or three people talking about John from Louisville and how he makes their skin crawl. John doesn't make my skin crawl. I think John's one of the smarter guys that calls the show, and maybe that's their problem with him.
Rick, thank you. Speaking of smart, AC is up next.
Mr. Feinbaum, thank you so much for taking my call. How you feeling?
Good.
Good, good. It looks like Jim and Legend, they went at it. You know, I remember. AC doesn't forget, bro. Remember I told you last year, Jim and Legend, they would never get along? Didn't I tell you that last year? And
yes,
you told
did.
Me this is what you said. Oh, yeah, I did. And you told me, AC, Jim and Legend, they may not get along with each other, but they can mop you up. You think I forgot all that? Well, guess what? They're mopping each other up. But it seems like you're speaking from your experience where your wife mops you up really good. Am I right, Mr. Feinbaum?
I think you are.
Yeah, I am. Because it seems like she's holding the key in the house. You're just a puppy dog. You know what I'm trying to tell you? See, I love you, but don't say something because AC doesn't forget, man. AC doesn't forget, so Jim and Legend can go at it. I know the contest to find Jim, it ends next week. I would add an extra spice into it. Whoever finds him before next Friday, $5,000 for you. Let's see who finds him. Paula.
Burke in Chicago, you're next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good to talk to you, Paul.
Thank you.
My lanes have changed to talk to you about something, being a Yankee, but when you talked about the fellow before, the smart ones, that talked about Johnny Manziel, he's a perfect example of somebody winning a big lottery ticket and knowing not how to spend it correctly, acting foolishly and young. Despite being coming from a oil family, that's fine. But he lost it. You know, the 3, 4, 5, 7 years ago, whatever. But with that being said, the other guy that's online right now, if you listen to a guy by the name of Phil Hendry, he has a friend called Raj Faneen.
Yeah, I know who Phil is.
Yeah, you do. Right. Remember Raj Faneen?
Yeah, Phil used to do all these voices on the radio many years ago. I haven't heard him lately.
Well, that's besides the point. He talked about the big fat American, like that guy beforehand who's not from Bangladesh. We know that. But I appreciate it, and it's good to talk to you. And one last thing. Go Buckeyes.
I don't know why we needed the 4-second pause there, but anyway, thank you. Will is in North Carolina. Will, good afternoon.
Paul, after the fallout that occurred last week, it's safe to say that college football, or more precisely, a team's whole season is not ready to be put on a streaming platform. I called you like 2, it was probably 3 or 4 months ago, griping about how MLB's headed there, and there's only one league in America that can put their product on a pure platform of streaming, and that's the NFL. I mean, I heard you even saying, Paul, that maybe the college football playoff was maybe thinking about putting, I don't know, like a lesser playoff game on the streaming platform. Right now, with all this, you know, realignment and everything, half of America is really quite pissed off at college football. Do you think that's really viable?
I think at some point the dollars will go so high that they may need a third party at the table. We know ESPN and Fox will be there, but you don't know what, you know, let's say that whatever the number is, Amazon, Apple comes in and says, we'll pay this. It's possible that they could put a game on there. I mean, everyone else has. For the NFL to put its Thursday night game on Amazon is a pretty dramatic move.
Well, now, I mean, yeah, they're putting their whole season on YouTube TV.
So, are they?
Okay. I mean, just NFL. I mean, I'm saying I'm NFL ticket, really, is what I mean
right.
by
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah, but, no, you're right.
Really, I just, there's so much change and stuff. I could see it, but
it depends. But I mean, streaming is not as extreme as it once sounded. It's fairly commonplace right now, in tens, if not hundreds, of millions of households.
Right. Last thing, Paul, before I get off here, is I know you've had Mac Brown on from Chapel Hill or whatever. Mike Elko's done a fantastic job at Duke, and with Riley Leonard coming back, I'm expecting a better season. They get Clemson the very first game of the year, and you know he does have the Texas A&M ties,
right?
Too. If you could maybe try to get him on the next few months or so, whenever, if y'all could work it out.
Okay. Yeah, we've tried to get a bunch of coaches on, and you know the window is closing, but we will make an effort. I know Mike pretty well. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We are coming up to the bottom of the hour. We'll talk to Cole Kubelik a little bit later on. Also, one of the top linemen in the SEC will also join us.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back here on a Thursday afternoon. Jay is up next in Washington, D.C. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. Long-time listener, sometime caller. Haven't called in a while, but you got me. You got me spun up here. Not you, but the topics on the show. I got three things for you, please. First, Jim is an angry man. He needs some therapy, and especially when you try to be his friend. I mean, really, I think you do a lot of heavy lifting there, but he has got some really tough issues going on there. Two, I agree with you. Alabama dynasty is over. It's over. I mean, just look at the team. 2 years ago, Nick Saban said, college football is dominated by offense, and look at the team today. Where's their quarterback? Who's going to catch the football? I think that's why you hear them messaging. They're going back to Alabama kind of traditions. It sounds like defense and running the football. That's not where college football is today. Last thing I got for you, Paul, I'd like to hear your feedback. College realignment, it's crazy. Greg Sankey is as cool as a underside of a pillow, but we're going to have to get more teams. We know that. And ACC has some targets of opportunity. So my thought is you have to go get Clemson. You have to get Florida State. You have to get Miami. I say go ahead and get all of Tobacco Road. Go get Wake Forest. Go get Carolina. Go get Duke. Go get NC State. And then it's a coin toss. I'd lean toward Virginia Tech over UVA. Don't worry about the rest of the ACC, Louisville, Syracuse, Boston. We don't need any of that. That takes us to 24 teams, and look what it does. Where it just solidifies we're the number one football conference in the country, but we become the number one athletic conference in the country. We're really good in basketball. We get a whole lot better in basketball. We get a whole lot better in baseball and other sports we get a whole lot better into. Soccer, lacrosse, places where the SEC is not strong in. We become immediately the best athletic conference in all of America. Anyway, want to hear your thoughts on that? Great show, Paul. I love your show. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you, Jay. Yeah, here's the only thing I would counter that. The SEC is already the best. You add Wake Forest and Duke and all these other schools, and you dilute the product. There's no apparatus for that. The only way the SEC will expand to the ACC footprint is if the ACC implodes, or if there are designated schools in the ACC that untangle themselves from this albatross that locks them to that league, which is extremely difficult to do. But I think 16 right now is pushing the SEC's relevance in terms of being able to play everyone and have a realistic league. You start adding 18, 20, 24, I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to what the league's all about. David is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call today. Hope you're doing good, buddy.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to say thanks to your producers. The other day after I called in and mentioned about maybe hooking up with Larry, about 20 minutes after I hung up from your call, he called me. And I'm going to have lunch with him next week, and we're going to get together. So I just want to say thank you for that. But I want to disagree with what the guy just said about the adding the teams. If there's two more teams that need to be added to the SEC, I believe it's Florida State and Miami. It would just make more sense. But as far as the playoff goes, your first caller of the day was talking about what Commissioner Sankey had said. I don't believe that you can give the five power conference championship teams buys. If you do, somebody's going to have to get an extra one. So I think the top four teams in the playoff get buys. Five plays 12, six plays 11. 7 plays 10 and 8 and 9 play. And, you know, I think that's the way that it could work. But I appreciate you, Paul. I appreciate your show. Hey, everybody kind of stay off Jim a little bit. I kind of admire Jim. He's just passionate about what he believes in. And I'd like to be able to hook up with him sometime, too.
I hope you can. Hey, thank you, David. Appreciate the call. Let's check in with Sean in Iowa. Hello, Sean.
Hey, how are you doing, Paul?
Very well.
So briefly yesterday on your show, Jerry Stovall was mentioned, and it kind of brought back some memories. My my late stepfather played ball for him at LSU in the early 80s, and he'd always tell me the story about the year it rained oranges, so I did some research, and in 82, they were up against Florida State. They had to win in order to go to the Orange Bowl, which they did. They unfortunately lost to Nebraska, but I was curious if you have any recollection of that, if you covered it at all. I know Stovall had pretty much one good season, but
I just wanted to see if you remember that. Vague recollection. I knew Coach Stovall. He was just an incredibly nice person. Great player in the NFL before he became a coach. I mean, he just walked into an unwinnable situation down there, but I do remember that, it caught up to him pretty quickly. But the problem back then, LSU was on a really downward spiral. He came in and he really couldn't sustain it. But they did have some moments in the process, though. But thanks for sharing that story with us. It's been a long time. Peyton is up next. Hello, Peyton.
Hi. How are you?
We're doing great.
Hi, I just had a couple questions. I called around this time last year asking about Hendon Hooker, asking if he was overrated and underrated. I kind of have the same thing for Joe Milton. I mean, what are your thoughts on him? I just saw that ball report on Instagram I posted saying that ESPN had been rated him as the number one most important player in college football playoff race. So I just want to know your thoughts about him. I mean, I think he's going to do really well. I know he's got a great arm, and he's gotten a lot more accurate with it. So what are your thoughts?
I'm very high
on him,
Peyton.
And, Paul, this is Peyton's mom. We need to give Jim a Xanax and give that man some more milk so he can calm down, because he is just too revved up. We're all excited about college football, but he needs to calm down, and we need to get him some medicine.
Somebody handing out Xanax. I'll take one. Mary is up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. I just wanted to talk with you about a clip you had from an old clip from Bobby Bowden.
Yes.
When he was at FSU, and he said that the powers that be decided they were ACC people, and they decided that they needed to go with the ACC instead of the SEC because the SEC had asked him to come. And, I know Bobby had big ties to Alabama.
Sure.
And he was a fine man. My husband played for him at Stanford after my husband went to FSU for 1 year and didn't want a scholarship and didn't like it. So he came back and played at home, and Bobby coached the team. Bobby had contact with the very first junior college team and Stanford, because they weren't huge schools, after he left. And he got together with us every year. We couldn't make them all because we traveled in the summer. But anyway, I just feel like Bobby was a fine man. And he said, well, he realized that he could probably have a better chance with the national championship in the ACC. But I that's why I don't want to see FSU. They turned us down once. They preferred to go.
Even though it was 30 years ago, I don't think anybody in the SEC has forgotten that either.
Well, I certainly haven't, and I go back that far, too. Anyway, then the other comment I wanted to make was my cat nipped at me when he heard all that hollering off the TV when Jim and whatever was Legend. Going at it. And I don't disagree with Gloria. I don't enjoy that at all. I mean, I think it's childish, and I think it's, if the man is sick, then maybe you should talk to him on an ESPN line, not and not air it because it's very disturbing. He nipped at me. My cat wanted to go outside. He couldn't stand it. Anyway, just my thought. Well,
thanks, Mary. That is dangerous when a cat is watching the Feinbaum show and reacts in a visceral way because of Jim and Legend. We'll try to put a warning up from now on that if you have susceptible pets during our phoner feuds, you might want to put them outside briefly. We'll take a break. More to come. More phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So we had a cat who nipped at his master.
I tell you what, Paul, I mean this. I finally can laugh my heart out at something because you're talking about catnip? That's the classic catnip of all time. The lady's cat nipped at her when she heard me in Legend, and she thinks I need to be banned because that's too much catnip for Mary. Mary from Alabama. Well, I sure hate that, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I don't want to offend anyone because we've owned cats in the past.
Yeah, I don't like, never did like them. Never did like them.
Peculiar animals.
I know.
And the fact that they don't like the sound of you is that's too bad.
She said, me and Legend.
But she wants. I wonder what kind of cat it was.
Let me say this, Paul. I got advice for Mary. May give your cat the Xanax. He's the one that needs it. I mean, good night. I have never had that got me laughing. I could not have stopped laughing. Her cat nipped her, and therefore, it's no good for me to be on the show. And
need quite, Jim, tell me this: why is a cat watching this show anyway? I mean, isn't there?
Well, you got some educated cats, obviously, Paul.
I mean, doesn't like the Animal Planet Network have shows for cats?
You know, when we were kids in the pool room, everybody called the cool guy. You know what they called him?
What?
Hey, cat. What's going on, cat? How you doing? You heard that? Remember? You ever hear that?
I have heard that. Yeah.
You've heard that. You know, hey, cat. What's going on? How you doing?
That's a compliment.
It was a form of courtesy. I mean, it was a form of what do you call it? I know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Flattery or something. That wasn't exactly the word, but yeah. Compliment is what it was. A big compliment.
Well, yeah,
that used to be
an old phrase like, you're a cool cat.
Exactly. There it is. That's it. That she ain't got no cool cat, Paul.
No.
Get that woman a cool cat, and please send her a dose, box of Xanax for her cat. They make
Xanax for cats. How about just going to the can opener and giving that cat something to eat as opposed to watching us?
Exactly. But that was classic. That was classic to hear.
I will say, I have never heard a dog. I have never heard a dog complain about this show.
Neither. They bark on the show, but they're not complaining.
They do bark, and I have it on good authority that dogs are big fans. But
that's probably why they bark, because they want to get it.
You're making me say something I don't want to say, but I really don't care whether that cat likes the show or not.
I'm glad you don't, because I show. Can we ban the cat and not me?
Well, you don't have anything to worry about. But that if that cat never watches the show again, they'll be fine.
Well, I saw where they placed the thing on there. I don't know who does it, but somebody doesn't like me in the background. You know that, and it wasn't Brams. I know Brams is a pretty good buddy of mine.
No,
but
Brams,
anyway,
Brams has your back.
Well, I told Brams a while ago. I said, you know what? Do you mind me saying? I'm afraid it'll come out bragging, but I'm just going to ask you flat out. You probably didn't remember.
Ron Fowler visited you about 11 or 12 years ago when I was out on the show,
right.
And I did talk ball. Hey, Susie, when I talked ball, I was the man. Ask Feinbaum. I was the man when I talked. Even Legion liked me and was jealous of me, not me jealous of him. That's a fact. You can ask Feinbaum. He'll tell you the truth. When I talk ball, but I didn't talk ball, and that's why I'm not as popular anymore. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out, Susie. I never liked you that much anyway, Susie. But anyway, Paul, you remember Ryan?
Come on,
Jim,
she just got out of the hospital. Don't send her back.
I don't care. I don't care. She doesn't care about me. I don't care about her. But anyway, Paul, I know I'm getting nasty, but I can't help it. That woman makes me – you're talking about blood. I love the comments about skin making your skin crawl. That's what John does to me. He makes my skin crawl, John from Louisville. And I'm glad some other people said – but you remember the day that Ryan Fowler stayed in the studio with you all 4 hours in the Birmingham studio about 10, 11 years ago – and I called.
Right.
And when he got back, I'm going to tell you what he said. Do you know what you said to him?
No.
Well, I'll tell you what he – I'll try to remember. I hate to say it because it sounds like I'm bragging. But he said – well, can I tell you what he said?
Yeah, please do.
And I think you remember it because he said you said it. And I don't think Ryan would lie. Ryan came back and he said, I was in the studio sitting next to Paul when you called. And he said, when you got through your call, Paul looked at me and he said, I would have him on all 4 hours if he wanted to be on 4 hours. Now, did you remember saying that?
I do remember that now.
I thought you would. I appreciate you telling the truth. So that's my old status from when I was hot on the show, when I talked ball, Susie. Get you a Xanax, baby. Thank you, Paul.
Jim smacking down poor Susie and the cat. We have 2 hours to go. Cole Kublik among the guests. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.